Scene 5, Anthony Marsogliani, 11:35 a.m. Michael Strong was brought down by walkie-talkie. He saw me the moment he walked in and stopped in surprise. His sandy eyebrows lifted. Marsogliani said, "Okay, Strong, we'll need your help. We're going up to 1511 and..." "Where the guy fell in the tub?" "Yes. This character here says if we go up and wait 15 minutes, somebody is going to walk in and admit he killed the man. We're going to give him his 15 minutes, and after that, if nothing happens, I want you to take him and get him out fast, because if you don't, I intend to kill him." "Let's go up," I said, trying not to let my voice quaver. "God, suppose I'm wrong. And it will be over by noon." "You'll be over by noon," said Marsogliani, and there was no doubt of that in his voice. Strong said nothing, but his eyes were opaque and hostile as well. I had no friends in that room, and I wasn't surprised. We went up a freight elevator, which was hand-operated. The operator greeted Marsogliani with a nod of his head and received nothing at all in return. We went up to the 15th floor, all of us, in silence. Marsogliani motioned me out first. I leaned my head out to make sure there was no one in the corridor. We all got out, and I whispered, "Which way?" I was disoriented. Marsogliani led, walking quickly and surprisingly softly. We followed. There was only one place where we had to make a left turn, and he motioned me forward again. There was no one there, either to the left or right, and we moved on. Marsogliani let us in with his pass key. There was the room, dead and lifeless, waiting for the next person to twist it into a faint echo of a temporary home. Marsogliani looked at his watch. "It's 11:42, he said. "I give you till 11:57, not a second more." "Okay. Listen, can you have the door open so that someone can walk in without having to pick the lock?" "All right," he said. He left the door closed but unlatched, then moved back and leaned against the bureau with his eyes on it. 14 minutes, he said. Michael Strong stood on the other side of the bed, also watching the door with a kind of fascination, and I watched with him, keeping my back to the damned bathroom. Marsogliani said softly, 10 minutes. I said even more softly, "You don't have to count." I could feel a drop of perspiration gathering at one temple and beginning to trickle down my face. The air conditioning wasn't on, of course. I didn't want its noise drowning anything. More minutes passed. I fumbled for a piece of paper out of the inner pocket of my jacket. It was the condensed program of the convention. I whispered to Strong, "Lend me your pen for a moment." He said in an ordinary speaking voice, "What?" I motioned him to silence with an anguished gesture. "There's only 5 minutes left. Let me have your pen." The tension had built to the point where all three of us were living in an unreal world, which was what I was counting on. Strong nodded, pulled out the left side of his jacket, and selected one of the three pens in his inner pocket. "Not that one," I said urgently. "The other one." He held out the pen he had taken. "What?" "The other one," I whispered. "The other one." And then, as he stood there frozen in surprise, I lunged at his jacket, tore out one of the other pens, and threw myself over the bed to the other side. The tension did its work, and Strong broke apart. He let out a shriek of anger. "Give me that," he yelled. "Give me my pen." "Why?" I shouted. "What's inside?" He dashed around the bed, and I tumbled over it again. By now, Marsogliani had come to life with a roar. "What the hell are you doing, Just?" "I've got a pen," I shouted, balancing myself on my toes and watching Strong sharply. "I've got his pen, and I want to open it. Will you hold him?" And Marsogliani began to see what was happening, so that when Strong dashed at me once again, he came up hard against the large man's vest. Marsogliani's arms moved quickly, and in a flash, Strong was whirled about and both his elbows were pinned behind. "Watch out for his legs," I said. "Stand still, Strong," said Marsogliani, "or I'll throw your arms out the window and leave the rest of you here." "What have you got, Just?" "A pen," I said, holding it out over the bureau, "and I'm opening it." I held it point up and unscrewed the body in a gesture that took the longest 2 seconds of my life, for if nothing happened now, I was in such deep trouble that I couldn't begin to measure the consequences. It came apart, and a white powder spilled out upon the bureau. I said unsteadily, "One will get you 100, Marsogliani, if that's not heroin." It was not quite 47 hours since I had discovered the body.